Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Carter Hawkins. The Cubs general manager joins us now on The Score Hotline. Carter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. I'm just curious. You know, we've heard so much, and obviously we've watched some of the struggles and the return to baseball for the post All-Star game. Did that poor homestand, did that set the course for the trade deadline? Did you already know what the course was, or have things changed because of the last two series?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be short-sighted to think that, you know, one or two games or four games are going to necessarily set the course for the season. But I do think that each game gives us a little bit more information about, you know, just the value of wins now versus the value of wins in the future. And certainly, I think, you know, as Council has talked about and as Jed has talked about, you know, we put ourselves in a tougher position, and not winning games doesn't necessarily help that.
So, Carter, when you look ahead, then Jed said everything that you do before the trade deadline, at the trade deadline, will be with 2025 in mind. If, in fact, the thought process is all about next season, how likely or how realistic is it to expect maybe one of the top prospects to come up for the final 55 games or so to get a good extended look? Canario, Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, somebody like that, to see how they fare against Major League pitching and begin the developmental process now?
I think that's always a possibility, and certainly something that we're always considering. There's a lot of variables that are super fun to talk about as it relates to that, but with roster status and things of that nature that come into play, and, you know, obviously who's on our roster here come August and September, but definitely not something that we're ruling out, and 100%, you know, those guys, you know, have started to get themselves in the conversation, and obviously Canario already has been up here, and there are absolutely things we'll consider regardless of just where we are here come the next 2 months.
How flummoxed are you or your group by the offensive woes, by the failure to kind of the struggle, let's say, to score runs? How does that impact you guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't use the words flummoxed by any means. I would say, you know, certainly frustrated, like everybody is. That's, you know, certainly the guys on the field and you know, the people in the stands that, you know, hey, we know we have that talent that we can certainly score more runs than we are, and it's frustrating that we haven't up to this point. Feel like we can. We've continued to try to work to get there, but it's baseball. You know, there's ups and downs, and there's noise, and there's hot streaks, and there's cold streaks, and we've had a longer cold streak, and yeah, that's certainly been frustrating.
Carter, there are credible reports that say that Jameson Taillon is the object of the desire of maybe the Red Sox, the Yankees, other teams. Can you help us understand the pros and cons of trading Taillon or even having those conversations? Because again, if everything is about next year, he gives you predictable, solid starter at the top of your rotation. So I wonder about the wisdom of trading him. At the same time, I suppose you always have to listen. Pros and cons for Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how you define credible reports this time of year. There's a lot of really credible reports that are great and credible reports that aren't. And it's always fascinating seeing what comes across the ticker and knowing what's absolutely fantasy and what's not. But, yeah, I mean, this is a time of year that the transactions happen, and anytime that transactions are happening, you should try to figure out how you can, you know, increase your side of the ledger. And that means you have to be open to all possibilities on both sides. And that's 100% something we're going to do. I think to dismiss any concept out of hand would be short-sighted. If you think you're good at transactions, you should make transactions. If you think you're bad, you should do nothing. And we're certainly not thinking that we're bad here, so we're certainly not going to do nothing in terms of listening to all opportunities.
When we spoke earlier, we talked about this idea of protecting some of the assets that you have. And we know that you guys are loaded in the minor league system. You got 8 of the top 100 from MLB Pipeline. I haven't looked at Baseball America. But the point is simply that you have a lot of really talented young players that are on the way. And this is a foolish question, but can you have too many? In other words, if you keep acquiring more and more, are you at some point getting to a point where you've got like sort of repeat blocked guys? I know this sounds insane, but at some point do you have to start trading some of those guys? You know what I mean? Like, just being honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, so to be a jerk, we would love to have more good players than less good players. To not be a jerk, I would say, yeah, like up to this point, you know, we have not traded or utilized our young prospects in either deals for other major leaguers or by other than Pete bringing them up to the major leagues to start, you know, basically utilizing their value. And as these guys are starting to get closer to, you know, double A, triple A, big leagues, and as we're getting into our window here, I think that's something that we have to start considering a little bit more. And, you know, we did not do that the last 3 off seasons by any means, but I think we're certainly getting closer to that. And yeah, definitely it's, you know, we're trying to start really putting more value on the field here at Wrigley, and that's something we'll be considering.
We're joined by Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins, who is here for Paws Chicago, whose mission is to build no-kill communities to end overpopulation of homeless animals and to transform animal welfare. So, Carter, Hector Neris is somebody else that a lot of teams might be interested in talking to you about because of his experience and because of where you are in the standings. Just wonder, he also has a clause, as you well know, that if he has so many appearances, it triggers an option. He has 21 left, I think, before he hits that trigger. Does any of that come up, or how much does that come up or is considered when considering whether or not to deal him, whether or not to pitch him? How does that factor in now for a season that seems lost?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't agree with the last sentence you had there, but in terms of decisions that we're making, you know, that's not a conversation that Counts and I or Counts and Jed are having around, you know, contract status as we're considering our lineups and our bullpen usage on a day-to-day basis. You know, I think anybody that's acquiring any player is thinking about their contract status and what the effect of that is on their teams both now and in the future. And Hector's no different than any other pitcher that way. So, yeah, I mean, it's a part of Hector. It's a part of every pitcher. And I think that's just a general conversation that you have.
I'm curious, how do you determine that you're entering your window? Is it the amount of good young pitchers you have coming up? What is the determining factor when you say that as you enter your window?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the marginal value of a win, right, not to get too technical, but, you know, if you're a 72-win team and you're trying to add 3 wins, I'm not sure that's going to necessarily add much to the reality of you making the playoffs or winning the World Series. But as you get closer to those playoff-type teams, is in terms of just what your true talent is, what your projected levels are, those wins start to really matter. And I think we're getting into that place, and that's exciting. It's certainly frustrating this year that up to this point we have not played to our projections, but we feel like we should have good playoff caliber teams here for the next several years, and you know, that means that the present becomes even more valuable.
Were you more amused or annoyed at the suggestion of Justin Steele getting traded or being part of trade conversation? He was asked about it. It has been out there, but as you said, not all the reports are credible. Just wondered what your reaction was to that suggestion.
Yeah, neither. I think it's the same thing that we're talking about, which is, you know, transactions are happening. Any opportunity you have to increase your side of the ledger, you should at least listen to. And, you know, that could be any player on your 26-man or 40-man or 180-man minor league roster. And so that's just the time of year. I mean, I would be surprised if not every single player that's providing any sort of major league value is not asked about over the course of the next week. It's just the nature of it. Some of those get in the media, some of those don't, but it just happens.
If we give you a list of, like, let's say 10 transactions proposed, could you tell us which ones are credible?
I'll tell you that probably 9 of them are not. I can guarantee you that.
You're looking ahead, Carter. We just talked about what's going on in the business of baseball and how the Athletic has a report this morning about MLB and the Players Association agreeing to alter the CBA so that the league can use a portion of its competitive balance tax proceeds to give teams that are losing money up to $15 million each because of all of the ways that RSNs and the decline of that has changed the financial structure for a lot of teams. How significant is that, and how will it affect potentially free agency in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit out of my purview, and a little hard to say just exactly how significant, you know, those dollars are, or what those dollars are, and who they're going to. You know, I think anytime money's coming into the system, it affects the economics of the system. But there's monies in a lot of different places that are coming in that affect the supply and demand of free agency and all those other things. So, yeah, I think it'll have effect. To what extent it does and to how that compares to other effects that will be happening this offseason, I couldn't say.
It's difficult to talk about a lot of the positives, but you've had a couple of really good positives. You know, Michael Bush is not only doing a really solid job with the bat, but he's improving defensively. Obviously, Shota has exceeded any expectations that people may have had. Maybe not you, but certainly most people when he was signed. There are some real bright spots here that we don't spend much time on.
Yeah, I mean, we had, you know, basically two new additions to this team from last year's team that, you know, there's obviously Almonte who got hurt, but, you know, and Neeris, but Bush and Imanaga were the two big ones that we came that weren't on the team last year, and they performed really, really well and helped us win more baseball games. So certainly excited about that, but figuring out how to put the whole picture together and win more games than we have is the key, and that's something that we're obviously thinking about every day and got to figure out how to get the guys that we have here already playing really well for next year and figure out what additions we can make to get it even better.
I won't call it a lost season again, but if you are looking ahead to 2025, I'm just curious, for the remainder of this season, what is Kyle Hendricks' role? And if he is unlikely to be a part of the future, perhaps, does that affect the way that he is used?
Yeah, and I would take one step back on, you know, some of Jeff's comments last week. You know, I think what he was saying was, we're not going to do anything that only helps 24. So, you know, it's not just looking towards 25. It's just trying to figure out, how do we do things that don't only help 24, just with the position that we're in. With regards to Kyle, I mean, Kyle obviously is an absolute stalwart of the rotation and of this club and represents so many unbelievable things about the Cubs. And you know, I think we're always going to have the opportunity for starting pitcher innings. I think any club does, and we're ecstatic that he has been able to throw the ball the way that he has the last few weeks, and it's just been an unbelievable thing to watch him, you know, fight through some adversity here over the course of the year at this point in his career and do it the way that he did it. And it's, you know, I'll stop short of saying it's inspiring, but it's pretty cool to see, and, you know, he'll be a big part of the next couple months for sure.
Is there anything that you look at this team and say, we've got to get done, we have to do this or that in order to make this season more successful?
Yeah, we got to get better. We got to figure out how to score more runs. We got to figure out how to prevent more runs. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. And, you know, that'll be our focus. It's not going to be a particular trade or particular type of run created or type of run saved. It's all over and trying to figure out that. And if we do that, we're going to be in a pretty good place.
Carter, thanks a ton. It's great catching up with you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Carter.
Always. Thanks, fellas.
That's Carter Hawkins, Cubs general manager.